You may have noticed past few weeks that every service sort of centered on just one thought, one theme, love. We've been talking about love since the 16th of August. Now, I'm very cautious. I don't easily say that this is part of a series, because then some people may say, well, on the other hand, I'm going to miss next week, so I may as well stay away today because it's a series and I won't know what's going on. So, being the last of the series, I feel free to announce it at last. And to help you and guide you in our thoughts, there is an insert in your bulletin today where I try to just pick out a few passages of the past four sermons. You will remember the title, without a doubt, When Lady Wisdom Goes to Town. Basically, we said, He taught us to love our neighbor as ourselves, to do unto others as we would wish them do unto us, and when entering a room, to sit at the modest end of the table. And then we had our Hurricane Sunday, where we preached on the theme of In the Wake of Tragedy. And there we said, if we are truly God's people, we are now binding wounds, comforting the grieving, and offering food to the hungry. And the week after that, we centered in on the significance and also, excuse the word, the theology of the word love. And the theme was there, looking for a loophole. Because that's indeed what the religious scholar was trying to do, to find a loophole, to get around this absolute command of God to love. And then we concluded that there was really no loophole for that religious scholar when he himself concluded that, who is my neighbor? My neighbor is the person who needs me, irrespective of anything else. My neighbor is the one who needs me. And then last week, we spoke about the three dimensions of love. And amongst others, we said Christian love includes loving even the unlovable. To love is to come alive. Love for God, for our neighbors, and a healthy love for ourselves. The rest you can read, and that will give you the line that we've been following. Now, our scripture reading this morning contains an almost unbelievable statement. And in my study this morning, Cindy already said, I can't wait to hear what you're going to say about this, because this is a statement that sort of brings unease immediately when you hear it the first time, that the sermon can be titled, When God's Love Disappears. Can you imagine? Can you imagine living without God's love? God's love? Do you really think that God's love can ever disappear? Well, Scripture says that it can, and that it often does. And that begs another question. If so, who do we blame when God's love disappears? I hope it will become much clearer when we read from 1 John 3, verses 17 through 24. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears. And you made it disappear. My dear children, let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. It's also the way to shut down debilitating self-criticism, even when there is something to it. For God is greater than our worried hearts, and knows more about us than we do ourselves. And friends, once that's taken care of, and we're no longer accusing or condemning ourselves, we're bold and free before God. We're able to stretch our hands out and receive what we asked for, because we're doing what He said, doing what pleases Him. Again, this is God's command, to believe in His personally named Son, Jesus Christ. He told us to love each other in line with the original command. And as we keep His commands, we live deeply and surely in Him, and He lives in us. And this is how we experience His deep and abiding presence in us, by the Spirit He gave us. I know that at least a few of you would want to take this passage home to read it over a couple of times, and it is so deep, it's so immensely deep, that one can never do justice in a few minutes talking about all this. But on a lighter note, have you seen the musical Fiddler on the Roof? I think most of you did. In old Russia, the Jews and terrible things that happened to them even in those days. But this is really delightful. It's really a good story. And part of it, those of among us who've been married for many years may even sometimes repeat some of this delightful dialogue to one another. Well, let me tell you a secret. Tinka and I sometimes do this very thing. We say this and she knows how to answer. I taught her. It's all okay there?
Yeah.
Okay. If Bill says it's okay, then it is okay. Now, in this, Teve asks his wife, Goldie, "Do you love me?" Then Goldie says, "You're a fool, Teve." He says, "I know, but do you love me?" She says, "Do I love you? For 25 years I've washed your clothes, cooked your meals, cleaned your house, given you children, milked the cow. After 25 years, why talk about love right now? I'm your wife, Teve." And then he sings, "I know, but do you love me?" She sings, "I suppose I do." And he concludes, "And I suppose I love you too." You know, people who truly love and care for one another never ever stop telling each other about the strong love that binds them. Do you still do that? I'm sure you do. I think most people do. When you have the privilege to be beside your loved one, you can do no others. You just sometimes have to say, "I love you," and mean it every time. I'm also aware of the fact that some here are alone today, so very alone when we talk about these things, because you used to have someone who told you, "I love you," and you loved him or her right back. Love, however, is not only about telling it, not only about talking it. Love is never words alone. And here in the Bible, John begins his explanation of how God's love disappears at times by asking a certain question. And here's the test. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing What happens to God's love? Now we get it. Theologically sound and correct. Because God's love channels through the believer into a world who needs it most. And if you and I, calling ourselves the children of God, sealed by a day when we committed our lives to God, when we cease to be a channel of God's love, because we are giving opportunities more than we can count, then God disappears for the person in need, for the person listening, because you and I have blocked the channel. That's what the Bible says. Obviously, if a person with possession sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help, then there is no sign of God's love in that person, and it is then that God disappears. At times we discover deep in ourselves and recognize in others the same surprising fact. This is sad. We claim to be Christians and talk about God's love in us. There's nobody listening right now that would argue about this. Of course we are Christians, and God's message to us is based on love, and God doesn't have love, God is love, and there's a difference. But seeing how we sometimes behave and deal with one another, it's difficult not to quietly wonder, why has God's love disappeared between us? How can God's love possibly be in this situation? I remember many years ago, a dear missionary in Swaziland in Africa went down there often about broadcasting matters, and he had a little plaque to dwell above with the saints in love. Oh, that will be glory. But to stay below with the saints I know, well, that's another story. Love becomes visible not in what we say, but what we do. Love for God is always coupled with love for people. And Jesus links loving God with loving people. Three-dimensional. Therefore, we know that the self-righteous, self-centered, lone range kind of Christian is no Christian after all. Some time ago, a dear lady told me, you don't see me in church anymore. It's a bit difficult to get there. But you know what? No problem. I turn on the television and I'm in church right away. I thought by myself, dearest, dearest woman, that's not church. It is where you are surrounded, where you are engulfed by the love of God, where you encourage, where you live, where you say, and where you do your relationship based on love. This is where we come not only to love, but to be loved. I experienced some of that in my heart this morning. This is where you come. You cannot be a lone ranger in this world with a self-centered love is a business between me and God. It's got nothing to do with you all. For Jesus, it's three-dimensional. God with all my heart, soul, my neighbor as myself. Love is action, never words alone. The gospel mentions numerous occasions where Jesus encountered the Pharisees And I want you to know one thing. It was not the Jewish faith that offended Jesus. Jesus himself was a Jew. We are told that he loved the law and that he explained the law. It had to do with something else. It was the hypocrisy that Jesus saw in those who represented God's church in those days. By name, the Pharisees, who used religion to elevate themselves. And boy, they knew how to do it. And if you see old pictures, you will notice that they all had these fancy robes. Oh, and they were walking in the temple. And they were talking in the temple. What are they talking about? God's love? No, study scripture. What were they doing? They were using religion as a bludgeon to beat down others that became the object of their scorn. It is their lovelessness that offended Jesus. And that finally said to the church of his time, woe is you. You have abandoned God's love. Love is action, never words alone. A major portion of the world's wealth is concentrated as we speak in so-called Christian nations. What better plan could God have for meeting the needs of the unfortunate of this world than have his people to share out of their abundance? God knew. He knows who we are. And this comes to us. Oh, I'm a patriot. I love this country. Nothing makes me feel so good than to say, God bless America. And I sing it with all my heart and with all my soul. But we need not stop there. We should not stop there. And everyone else. Oh, God, bless your world in suffering and pain. And let me be your instrument of love to those who know no love, far, far away. Certain Christian women, really true, visited Darfur. And you know the name. It's a country that knows so much suffering and despair. And there during her visit, she saw the small children with the swollen bellies of malnutrition. She saw the diseased and dying by the thousands from the ravages of war and drought. She saw so much misery that she never knew existed before. Know what she wrote? She said, when I saw all that, I felt like yelling, like screaming to God. How dare you do this? She said, in the quiet that followed, I realized that it was God screaming at me. Get that. Every time when we see misery and pain, it is God screaming at us. Love is action, never words alone. We are part of God's plan for the caring for the unfortunate of this world. And if we do not do it, God disappears. Makes me want to pray out loud. Stay with us, O God. Stay with us in your mercy. In your love, in your understanding, forgive us. Make us whole. Teach us your love so that we can love. When you and I deal with one another, part of the same church family, are we giving an accurate witness to the love of Jesus Christ? Or are we sometimes part of the problem instead of the solution? It is so easy to sow seeds of anger. Have you heard what so-and-so said? How could he? Resentment. Oh, that guy. I can't stand him anymore. And even I've heard it. Oh, I hate you. I hate that person. Can't help it. I hate that person. That's how we often sound. For the follower of Jesus, love knows no bounds. It's never words alone. And this is the only way that people to know to whom we belong, by how much we love. That is the sign. That's the signal. They see our love. And they get the message. The love in this person comes from far beyond. It knows no barriers. And love, the Bible says so, is still our primary witness to the world. And if the world cannot sense our love, we will still be called a church, but we will no longer be a true church. Definitely not a church of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. There are some things in life that you cannot fake. There are no ifs, buts, or maybes. And only if we in this place love one another, the world will know that this is still truly a church of Jesus Christ. Can you think of it? Oldest church in town. People will not test us by our age, but by the one question. Do I recognize God, a loving God, in what they say and do, how they treat one another, and how they treat the world around them? They will notice and they will believe our love for one another, and finally they will admire it, and they will desire it, and they will strengthen our ranks, and we will be strength and power and love, because the God of Jesus Christ is our God, is your God, is my God, and we are serious about what we believe. Jesus said, finally, in John's Gospel, chapter 15, listen to this explanation. He says, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I have done. Kept my Father's commands and made myself at home in his love. You'll find that in John 15. I simply kept, said Jesus, what my Father told me. That is who I am. And those who knew Jesus in person saw a glimpse, the reality of the quality of his love for us. Where, when? On a cross outside Jerusalem. They were eyewitnesses to the greatest love. I believe that's exactly where the basic message of Christianity was born. And even now, we hear a faint voice echoing through the ages. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. See, one cannot end this sermon with beautiful Isle or somewhere, nothing to do with me. This calls for a personal decision that you and I have to make again or for the first time. Maybe we should decide today. A song says it so beautiful. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know that we are Christians by our love. Amen.